There's two ways to tame the tongue. The first is to let God have control. With the second way inscribed on a famous tombstone in London, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. That was the day she died. So there's two ways that your tongue can get in control. And first one is a lot earlier. That's when we let God have control of our lives. It's a problem for all of us, this taming our tongue, the flames that want to come from it.
Zion Hall now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
Words have a great power to help or to hurt, to comfort or to stir up trouble. It's a power that must be controlled or it will be abused. Now, thankfully, we don't have to wait till death to get control of this powerful instrument. Well, hello and welcome to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We've been making our way through the book of James, and James has reminded us that the world is watching us, but also the world is listening to us. We can't help but ask, what will they hear? Beginning with the root cause of why we stumble in our words from James chapter 3, and verse 2, here's Pastor Ed.
If one does not stumble in the words they use, speaking, the tongue, he is a perfect man, a mature person, able to bridle the whole body. So he's really saying that the tongue is the problem, or more importantly, the heart, we'll see in just a minute. So God is saying, expect to stumble. Years ago, doing some snow skiing, the instructor was talking to somebody who was very gifted at skiing, and they were standing there talking, and the person was on skis and flipped and fell down right in front of the instructor. And he said, well, no one gets so good that they will never fall. It's just part of skiing. It's just part of growing in Christ. So without encouragement, he says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body with a little piece of steel and bridle inside a horse's mouth. So James talks about the power of the tongue first and how small it is, and now he talks about the ability in a horse, which is a powerful animal, to be controlled by just a little piece of steel. If you want a sense of what that does, just put a pencil in your mouth, have somebody put a couple of strings and stand behind you and pull a couple of times, and you'll do what they want you to do too. 1,000-pound American quarter horse do the quarter mile in 25 seconds, which is about twice as fast as any human. But all it takes, particularly in a well-trained horse that knows about bits and the damage they can do inside your mouth and in your tongue, a horse's tongue, just a little touch and they'll lock up and stop. So that's the picture he's using for you and I. We need to learn to tame, to control our tongues. And the way that we do that is something interesting. Verse 4, look also at ships. So first it's a horse, a bit. Secondly, it's a ship. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Of course, they were talking about sailing ships in those days. It is a very small rudder compared to the size of the ship. For example, the Queen Elizabeth II, huge ship, 83,000 tons, but it had a 120-ton rudder on it. Now, that still is a huge piece of metal, but not compared to the entire ship. It's less than 0.1% of the entire ship's weight. So a relatively small rudder turns a ship in a direction that the pilot wants to go, unless it's broken. and is not connected. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great the force a little fire kindles. So he moves from the small thing of a rudder to the small thing of a match. Of course, we live in Southern California. We know about Santa Ana winds, and we know about the crazies that go out and start them on fire on purpose. Reading, we're not the only one with that problem. In Australia a few weeks back, they had an overnight fire that wiped out 600 square miles. Howling windstorm and very dry down there at the time. Tiny match set by someone with a match. So he's comparing this, of course, to our own tongue. A loose tongue, Washington Irving said, is the organ of the devil. A sharp tongue is the only tool that grows keener with constant use. Okay. Ouch. Thanks, Pastor. Verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, of sin. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, set on fire by hell. So the tongue is like a match able to cause a fire. What's he talking about? Anger, uncontrolled anger in a person. There are women that struggle with this, but the vast majority of men I know struggle with anger, with a flame that's often lit up by what someone says. And he's speaking to us men about our heart. That's where this is going, a problem in our heart. It's set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Sit right here. Got a row of teeth around it to stop it. But the problem is we open those teeth up and let the stuff out. Verse 7. For every kind of beast, bird, reptile, and creature of the sea, what the Greeks saw as the four classifications of animals, beasts being four-footed, birds flying, of course, reptiles, same word we use, and fish, whether in the sea that's fresh or a sea that has salt in it. So he's making a comparison. That men are able to control other beasts, train them. We can train, bears to ride bicycles, and we can make lions jump through flaming hoops, and elephants to stand on their hind legs. But how is it that we can't do anything with our tongue? In fact, he says a sweeping statement in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. Now, the first time I read this as a new Christian, I said, so there's no hope. It's just going to be out of control. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He probably has Genesis chapter 3 in mind, where the serpent mouth was putting out poison that poisoned Adam and Eve. But he makes a statement that you have to carefully look at. The structure of the sentence in the Greek language is that he makes a comparison against no man. The idea being that you can't change your tongue, you can't get full control over it, I can't get full control over my tongue, but God can. And God does it by an interesting choice. The Spirit of God wants control of my heart, because it's out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. Now, I've had a lot of people argue with me over the years about that verse. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He's saying it's like a cup or a glass that if you bump it, what's inside comes out. Out of my heart, where does it come? Out the end of this thing. That's the problem. And God himself is the only one who can help get control of it, but we have to allow him. We have this wonderful free will that allows us to do things, create things, be things. But God is saying, if you'll surrender your heart to me, I'll give you a new one. I'll take out your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I will write my law on your heart, put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my ways. It's the last phrase that gives hope to all of us, that God gives us a new heart and then he moves us into the right path, the right course of life. It's a wonderful gift that nobody deserves. It is by grace that he creates the new. I just gave you the new covenant. You remember Jesus took the cup that night at the Last Supper and he said, "This is my blood of a new covenant." The old covenant was 613 rules and regulations. The new covenant is surrender of your life to me. And I will put my Spirit within you. You will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the good news. That this is God saying he will change us, but he waits for us to give him permission. He's waiting right now for some of us here to give him permission. So no man can tame a man's tongue, but the Spirit of God can from the inside out. Tongues, they're hard to stop. There's a famous tombstone in London that is in right at the gate of a graveyard where a lot of tourists walk by. Several places I saw it quoted. "Beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue." That was the day she died. So there's two ways that your tongue can get in control. And the first one is a lot earlier. That's when we let God have control of our lives. It's a problem for all of us, this taming our tongue, the flames that want to come from it.
A problem indeed. You're listening to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. He's underscoring from James chapter 3, the problem of the tongue. And I'm happy to say there's a remedy. But before we get to the remedy, Pastor Ed is back with us to further illustrate the problem, even among the best of us.
I love the story of the pastor who on a day off is building a wooden trellis for some kind of plant to go on. It was right beside the sidewalk, and he's up on a ladder, and he's nailing together the last of the art. And as he's getting ready to pound, he looks down. There's a little boy looking up at him. And he said, maybe 5 or 6 years old. And the little boy says, "What you doing?" And he says, "Well, I'm building the trellis for my plant to climb on." He said, "Oh." And he just stood there watching. The pastor says to him, "So you want to learn how to build a trellis?" "No," he says, "I want to know what a pastor says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Smart kid. Psalm 51, verse 10, "Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God can change our heart, and he wants to. Verse 9, "With it we bless our God, with our tongue." Okay, here's the good news. This is using the tongue for the right thing. "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of the image of God." Okay, so God has given us this high honor of actually speaking out, honoring God, and bringing joy to his heart. That's what it means to bless him. You have the capacity, the ability to make God pleased. Bless him by the choice of words that you use. I hope you did when we were doing worship together. We were saying that we were blessing God in the process of singing those songs. David did it over and over again. That's really what the Psalms are about. But there's a particular spot that I thought really gave us a picture of what he was doing with his speech. It's in 1 Chronicles 29, and he had just gotten together all the parts for the temple, or a large part of them. He wasn't going to be able to build it, but his son Solomon was. David blessed the Lord and said, quote, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O God, and you are exalted, head over all, both riches and honor come from you. And you reign over all. In your hands is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." That's your heart, God. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. But who am I, and also my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things came from you. Everything we're giving you, Lord, you gave to us. And of your own, we have given you. So you give to us and we give back to you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. We're just here for a short time. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow. They come and they go quickly. So David understood this concept of blessing God. And I think we sometimes miss that concept, that God wants us to have conversation with him. Is he an egotist that needs to be built up? No. He doesn't need anything from puny old us, but he desires to have a relationship with his children. Because you are made in his image. You are like him. He has given you the ability to create. He is the creator God. Whether it's in music or mechanical things or sewing or whatever your joy is. And he gave you that talent. And it mirrors who he is. You look like one of his kids by the gifts that he has given you. So he's waiting to have a deeper relationship with you. And he wants us to bless others, to speak words that encourage others along the road of life. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Yes, we do have the ability to bless God. Why is it that we still struggle with letting praises go to him, but not to people around us? We struggle with anger. We need him to intervene in our life. Verse 11, does the spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Does a spring of water, and the picture here is of an artesian well, one that's under pressure, the water flows to the surface. It doesn't have salt water and fresh water coming out of it at the same time. Sweet fresh water is drinkable, of course. Others should be able to drink of you, your life, the things that you're saying, the things that are coming off this tongue. And salty, literally, the other one is bitter. Now, James probably had in mind, there are salt springs in Israel. In fact, the Sea of Galilee used to have these springs running into it. That's why they called it the sea, because it was slightly brackish water. And Nazareth was just up a valley that flows right into the Sea of Galilee. So James is probably talking about where he grew up, watching Jesus. Could have been something to do with the Dead Sea, but that was a long ways away. So he's saying there should be fresh out of one spring. Can a fig tree, last illustration, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So he's driving home this concept that we bless God and we should bless men. That he gave us the ability to bring joy to God's heart by the things you say to him. And it also brings joy to his heart to hear you say things to others that build them up, that encourage them, that strengthen them. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Your life is known by the things that come out of it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There it is again, that it's what's in our heart that comes out. Now, again, he's referring back to this idea of letting God take over our heart. If you haven't started there, you're on a fruitless adventure of trying to control your own tongue, because the heart itself has to be changed first. Warren Wiersbe spent a lot of time on these 12 verses. At the end of it, he said 12 words that can transform your life towards others. These words are please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm praying for you. All of them positive, all of them the white wolf, all of them building people up and not tearing them down. I would say that That's the greatest danger is in a couple, in the way that spouses talk to each other. Rarely do they say, please, thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm praying for you. So if you're struggling in your marriage, add those in. The tongue has the power of life and death, so Proverbs 18:21 says, death words destroy, hurt, create hateful and humiliating feelings. Alive words, life words, build and increase strength of character. They lift spirits. They're centered on the truth. And they set people free who would otherwise be stuck in bondage. So God wants us to be changed from the inside out. And the tongue is the place that shows whether our hearts have been touched. There is a bucket that goes down deep into our heart and pulls things out, and it comes out our mouth under the right pressures. The worst things can come out. With the tongue, Adam said, I am naked. With the tongue, Noah said, it's going to rain. With the tongue, Moses said, let my people go. With the tongue, Joshua said, we can possess the land. With the tongue, David stumbled and sent for Bathsheba. With the tongue, Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone. God is perfect and I'm not. With the tongue, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The tongue, sharper than a sword, can bite like a serpent. The tongue has the ability to let go poison that will bring others down. But the tongue also can build up, strengthen, establish. The tongue can bring life to people who are lost in darkness. The tongue can confess the name of Jesus and be saved for eternity. You got a verse for that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you would confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news.
That's good news indeed. If you're yet to do so, call on the Lord from your heart, with your mouth, and you too will be saved. And then get into a good Bible-teaching church. If you need a recommendation, give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. This is Growing Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. For a CD copy of today's message, please give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. Or listen online at thepackinghouse.org when it's most convenient. We can hook you up with many more resources to help you to grow in grace when you visit thepackinghouse.org, like Pastor Ed's devotional. Well, today we'd like to offer you a very special book, Living Water by Pastor Chuck Smith. Learn how to embrace the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you read this excellent book. We'll gladly send it to those of you who support Grow in Grace with a donation of any amount. You might think of it as our way of saying thanks. You can donate safely and securely online at thepackinghouse.org, or again, give us a call at 844-77-GRACE. You know, it's a real blessing when we hear back from our listening audience, and we want to hear from you. If you would drop us an email with the call letters of the station you're listening on, It would help us to know where people are listening and where the program is being most effective. We want to know what God is up to in your life. Drop us an email today at packinghouseradio@aol.com. That's packinghouseradio@aol.com. And then join us next time as together we grow in grace through a study in James with Pastor Ed Ray. May God richly bless you as you grow in His grace.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your